Our reading from Acts chapter 17 about Paul in Athens talks about how we might seek and find God. And the way it suggests is that we can find God through serious thinking about him, his nature and existence, and how he wants us to worship him. Paul speaks about the Christian faith in the synagogues and in the town square to passers-by and to Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. And he's invited to speak to the court of in the court of Areopagus. And that's a select place where people debate the law, public morality, and religious belief. And Paul begins by recognizing that the Athenians are religious people and they think seriously about religion and about God. It's important to think seriously about God. In Psalm 27, we read that God says to the psalmist, "Seek ye my face." And the psalmist replies, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Paul says to those Athenians that God has made the world and the human race, and the response he wants from people is that they should seek him, and it might be find him and touch him. Maybe one of the greatest obstacles to religious belief is sheer indifference. Maybe people are so caught up with their families, their careers, their material possessions, their leisure pursuits, and so on, that they simply don't find time to do serious thinking about God. And so, time needs to be given to seek God. And even after we've come to faith, it's good to continue to think about the nature of God, the life and character of Jesus Christ, and about problems such as suffering and social injustice, and how we can serve and follow God. Jesus tells us to love God with our minds. And the Apostle Paul encourages Christians to grow in their faith and to become mature Christians. But our thinking about God shouldn't be primarily an academic and intellectual exercise. Yes, it's helpful to think about Christian doctrine and to read and to get to know what the Bible says and to learn about Christians through the centuries and what they've thought and believed. But most important of all, our thinking about God should lead us to a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We need to get to know about God's love for us and be able to put our trust in God, our faith in God. Some time ago, I read Steve Turner's biography of Cliff Richard. And in this biography, it tells us how Cliff searched for God and thought about the Christian faith. And the person who started him off was one of the members of the Shadows, Licorice Lockin, who was himself a Jehovah's Witness. But Cliff was still in touch with a school teacher, Jay Norris, and she wrote to him and got him into contact with several Christians, including a Christian who taught religious education, Bill Latham. And Cliff got into conversation with Bill Latham and other Christians about the Bible and about the possibility of having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And it was through Cliff's friendship with these people and through his conversations with them that he eventually committed his life to Jesus Christ. And at the time, a reporter asked him about his interest in religion, and he said, "I'm just thinking seriously about God. That's all. It's very important to me." But we can only think about God through the way he has revealed himself to us. And I put it to you that God has revealed himself in two ways. His natural revelation through creation and humanity, and his supernatural revelation through Jesus Christ, and especially his resurrection. So let's firstly look at God's natural revelation. Paul, when speaking to the Athenians, tells us that God has created the world. He's also created the human race. And he's given the human race a natural instinct to seek God and to search for God. And so let's look at creation around us. Let's look at the trees and the flowers, the birds and the animals, the fish and the insects, the glories of nature. And surely, if we look at them thoughtfully, then they will fill us with a sense of awe and wonder. Tony Holland was a professor of chemical engineering and was a scientific humanist. When he asked himself the question, "Is there a God?" And after a lot of consideration, he came to the conclusion that as he looked at the world around him and its order, it pointed him to the existence of a creator. And he said that just as a great symphony testifies to the skill of a composer, so the world and the universe testify to the wisdom and the power of God. And now let's look at people. Let's think about the human body, our eyes and ears, our hands and feet, our brains and voices. Surely they too point us to a creator. The Reverend David Watson, in one of his books, said that a television camera has 60,000 photoelectric elements which enable it to see in a limited sense. But the human eye has 137 million elements, which enables it to see in all weathers, to focus automatically, and to continue to see for about 70 years. People seem to have a natural instinct which makes them think about religion and about God. Dostoevsky once wrote, "The one essential condition of human existence is that man should be able to bow down before the infinitely great. If men are deprived of the infinitely great, then they will cease to continue to live and die of despair. The infinite and the eternal are as essential for man as the little planet upon which he dwells." And so, as we think of creation around us, and as we think of people, then this points us to the possibility of the existence of a creator God. But of course, it doesn't prove to us God's existence. And as we think also of natural disasters, incurable illnesses, and the sinfulness of people, then of course doubts and questions arise in our minds about God's existence. And so, creation and people can only take us so far in our search for God. And we need to turn to God's supernatural revelation. How God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and especially in Jesus' resurrection. Paul, when talking to the Athenians about the gospel, talks particularly about the life of Jesus Christ and mentions especially his resurrection. God came to us in Jesus Christ and lived among us in Jesus Christ. And he said to the people, or rather to the disciples, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And so, as we think about Jesus' teaching, there he shows us how God wants us to live and treat one another. Jesus' healing miracles show us that God wants us to be living healthy and happy lives, and that God's will is opposed to illness and suffering. And Jesus' resurrection shows us that God's love is more powerful than the sin of man. For people put Jesus to death on the cross, but God in his great love raised Jesus from the dead, showing that Jesus's love, that God's love is greater than human sin and death. Now, of course, humanly speaking, we may find it extremely difficult to believe in the resurrection. But if we accept that God created the world and gave human life, then surely such a God can raise someone from the dead. And so in the resurrection, we have this pointer towards God's love and power being greater than sin and evil and death. And so let us think seriously about God, his natural revelation in creation and human life, and his supernatural revelation in Jesus and his resurrection. And as we think seriously about God, then God can not only help us to find faith, but also to grow in our Christian faith. Amen.